In the name of Jesus, amen. I've mentioned it before in a sermon, and it's a point that people have brought up time and time again. It's a striking thing, and it's a saying that has stuck with me, and in some instances has proven true over the years. On my vicarage, when I was training to become a pastor through seminary, but on my vicarage in Wheaton, Illinois, my supervisor told me that people cannot reach out and punch God in the face, but they can reach you. Referring to the fact that oftentimes when we are most upset, really at God, who ordains all things and gives us all things, we typically lash out at either God's voice piece, the pastor, or we lash out at friends, at neighbors. We lash out at everybody and anything other than God when things aren't going the right way. Sometimes we even lash out at ourselves. But when it comes down to it, you don't need any of that. You don't need to turn someone else into a punching bag. You need a God you can punch. You really do. Now, you might not think so, and you might think, oh, well, I'm too pious to do that. I mean, that's not how we envision God usually. We don't think about God as a punching bag. You think you need a God who can hold your hand as he walks with you and talks with you in some ethereal garden. Or sometimes we think we need him to hoist us on our shoulder as he walks us through sandy beaches, leaving footprints in the sand. We need a God, or at least we suppose, like the statues that show him playing soccer with little kids or towering over the little kids in the basketball court. But you don't. You need a God whose lips you can fatten with a well-placed right hook. This is a human predicament. Since Adam's rebellion in the garden, since he fearfully fled and hid himself at the sound of God walking in the garden, mankind has been alienated from God. Nothing had changed in God, of course, but everything did change in man. Now we sought to be our own God. And in doing so, we turned away from the Creator and the source of life. Only a dying Adam would flee from a perfectly good Creator. Since then, rebellion has been fallen man's plight. Enmity with the holy God is all that sinners have. Sinners hate God. He's holy. We're not. His law is an affront to the do-it-yourself divinity schemes. He calls his people to be holy just as he is holy. Jesus demands perfect righteousness just as the Heavenly Father is righteous. No matter what you score on the righteousness self-assessment you take in your head every morning, you're simply not good when it comes down to it. The law is absolute. The commandments allow no room for deviation. You can't even slightly get off the course, the path, not even for a moment, not even in the least bit. So Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, away from God, and on their own. It's little wonder that people prefer a God of their own creation, a Jesus of their own imagination, to the holy God of Scripture who demands that our holiness perfectly match His. A good teacher Jesus, or a life coach Jesus, or a model CEO Jesus, or a moral example Jesus, or a nice guy Jesus, or a guru Jesus. Because that's not an affront to our sinful nature. We can get behind a Jesus who's like that, and he wouldn't have gotten struck in the face, verbally and physically bludgeoned, nailed to a cross, and killed. But those model Jesus can't save you. They're fake. Adam doesn't need a God who encourages him to do better next time. He doesn't need a mulligan. He has eaten of the fruit. He's rebelled. And he is wholly other from a holy God. He needs a God who can plead his case, who will take up his case, who will bear his flesh and do in Adam's place what Adam failed to do in the first place. He needs a holy God who will impart his holiness as a gift. He needs a God with human flesh who keeps the law perfectly. He needs a God with a face he can punch. Unless he can bear your hatred, this God can't save you. Unless he can receive your blows, this God can't bear your sins. So behold the man hung on a cross. God became man. Jesus is a God, so you can punch, you can kick, you can cry out against. You can put all your sins and your anxieties and your worries there. He has drawn near, not in wrath, but in mercy. Behold the man who has come to seek for lost humanity. And Jesus, God, walks in the midst of his creation again, and he desires to draw all men to himself, out of their fearful hiding, out of their sin and their shame. Behold the man, behold, God is a man. Now the Creator's, "Where are you, Adam?" from the very beginning has become, "Why do you strike me?" Asked about his teaching, Jesus answers, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret." So Annas commands one of the officers to strike him in the face. "Behold, that's your God. Behold the man Jesus. Behold, God has a face that can be struck. God has a back that can be scourged. God has hands that can be bound and nailed. This is good. Behold the man who comes to allow himself to be struck by the sinner, the one he wants to redeem. Behold the man, the God that we can punch, who can bear our striking, our smiting, our scourging, our hating. Behold the servant who will suffer in your place. Behold the one despised and rejected by men, despised because no one would esteem. Behold, this one who can be struck in the face has borne your griefs and carried your sorrows. Behold, the man who in your place is stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Behold him pierced for your transgression and crushed for your iniquity. Behold, the man upon whom is the chastisement, the punishment that has brought you peace. Behold the wounds that he takes on for you. In his flesh, Jesus bears all of mankind's sinful, rebellious hatred and receives every blow that we could possibly deal to him. Every blow that was dealt to him was on our behalf. Our sins are the reason he bears the blows. And you need a God who can do that, who can take the whip because of the sins that you have, who can take the nails, who can sigh and die. His holiness is a gift, not to those who deserve it, but to those least deserving. He bears all men's hatred of God and worse because he loves us. The solution to our hatred of God and the things that happen in life, the solution to us wanting what God has not ordained, the solution to our desire to punch and lash out, is to abstain, to confess, to speak in unison with the law what you know to be true, that you're sinful, that we don't desire God. And then, though we would have raised a hand against him, Jesus sends his officials, his pastors, his men with his words of absolution. And when you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and forgives us of our sins. Behold the man who had rather turn the other cheek, who had come not in wrath but in mercy. Behold the man who would rather endure shameful abuse at the hands of sinners than allow sinners to have an answer for their own sins. Because in him you are made holy and whole, a new man. Amen.